Well, we're continuing to think this morning about the eldership as we prepare for the forthcoming election of elders that we hope to hold, God willing, on the 20th of March. Last week we looked at the office of elder, and we want to think together now this morning about the duties of the elder. And the duties of the elder are many and various, and they are of great importance. And we could simply go through them all one by one, but that might be a little bit tedious, and it would certainly be very long because there are so many different aspects to the work of the eldership. So what I want us to do instead this morning is to look together at the picture that the Bible gives, or one of the pictures, at least, that the Bible gives of the elder, a visual aid, if you like, to help us to understand what it is that the elder is meant to do. And the picture that the Bible gives of the elder, and you've probably worked it out from the children's address and the Psalms already, the picture that the Bible gives is the picture of a shepherd. The Latin word pastor simply means shepherd. That's where the word pastor comes from. That's why we refer to ministers often as pastors. It's usually applied to the teaching elder, to the minister, but the New Testament doesn't just use the word pastor, shepherd, of the teaching elder. It uses the term to describe all elders. Acts 20 and verse 28, for example, Paul is speaking to all the elders of the church in Ephesus, and he says, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." They're all to be shepherds. Not just one of them is the pastor. They are all to be pastors. Or 1 Peter 5 and verse 1, Peter writes, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care." So he's writing this letter to many different churches of Christians, many different congregations, and in chapter 5 he has a series of exhortations for the elders. And he begins that by saying, be shepherds of God's flock. Be pastors of God's flock. So I am not the only pastor in Trinity. We have 9 pastors here all together at the moment. All elders, teaching or ruling elders, they are all called to be shepherds of the church. Each congregation is a flock of God's sheep. Jesus Christ, of course, is the great shepherd, but elders are his under-shepherds. That's another phrase that the New Testament uses. Under-shepherds who care for Christ's sheep in the way that Jesus Christ himself commands. So what are the duties and responsibilities of a shepherd? Well, let me mention 3 aspects that we see in Scripture to the work of the shepherd. First of all, leading. Leading. In the Bible, the shepherd doesn't follow the sheep. Shepherd doesn't wait to see where the sheep might like to go and then follows along behind. He leads the sheep. He walks in front. He goes in the way that he wants them to go, and then they follow along behind. Psalm 23, verse 2. He leads me beside quiet waters. John 10, 3 and 4. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd goes in front, and the sheep follow. Elders, pastors direct the affairs of the church by leading. Elders are not meant to be like that hapless revolutionary leader who was sitting in a cafe in Paris when a crowd of citizens rushed past the window. And he said to the others who were with him, "There go my people. I must find out where they're going so that I can lead them." Too many sessions have exactly that attitude to leading the congregation. They wait to see what the congregation wants to do before they take a step in any direction. That's not Presbyterianism. That's a kind of congregationalism. Too many sessions feel that they have to test the water constantly. They have to send out endless surveys and polls. They have to take a vote before any decision can be made. That's not leadership. It's certainly not Presbyterianism. Now, of course, there is a place for consultation, and we had an example of that just last week at our AGM. But the whole point of having leaders is so that they will lead. Elders lead God's people. And that means that they need to have a clear vision, a clear idea of the direction in which they want to go and in which they want the congregation to follow. And then they bring the congregation with them in that direction. Elders lead from the front also by their example. The shepherd walks ahead of the sheep in the way that he then wants the sheep to walk. The sheep follow in his footsteps. The sheep do what he does. The sheep go where he goes. The Lord, our shepherd, leads us in paths of righteousness. The Lord shows us what it means to walk in the paths of righteousness. Jesus, our shepherd, shows us by his life what it means to walk in the paths of righteousness. He is our great example. And elders are to live lives that are examples to the flock of God under their care. 1 Peter 5 verse 3 says that elders are not to lord it over those entrusted to them, but to be examples to the flock. Or 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul says to the Corinthians, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And that is something that every elder should be able to say. We're not suggesting for a moment that every elder is perfect in every way, and we'll come back to that when we think about how the elder is to be blameless. That's one of the qualifications of the elder. But nevertheless, there should be a consistency and an integrity about an elder's life, that he can say to anyone in the congregation, "Do what I do. Follow my example in family life, in witnessing to the world, in the way that you conduct your business, in the way that you do your work. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And so elders are to set an example in their attendance at public worship. Elders will never miss a single service without very good reason. Elders will be those who set an example in evangelism. They will be zealous for reaching out to the lost with the gospel. They'll set an example in leading in prayer. There won't be long silences where they have to be cajoled or forced into leading in prayer. They teach people by their prayers what Christian prayer sounds like. They set an example by their participation in the midweek Bible study, obviously in their attendance every week, but also in their participation, taking part by making wise, judicious, helpful comments. Elders set an example in confessing their sins. They show the congregation how to confess sin, how to repent by doing it. They don't just talk about it, but if they sin against another member of the congregation, they will go to that person and they will confess how they have sinned and they will ask that brother or sister for forgiveness. They'll do it without excuses or self-justification. They will say to the person's face, "I've sinned against you, and I need to ask for your forgiveness." An elder leads from the front by setting the example to the rest of the congregation of submission to session. Each elder, remember, is under the authority of the session as well. And so the elder abides by the decisions of the session and upholds the decisions of the session. He doesn't try to undermine them in any way, even if he disagrees with some of the decisions that the majority of the session make, especially when he disagrees with some of the decisions that the majority of the session may make. He shows what obeying your leaders looks like in practice. In all these ways, and many, many more, elders lead by their example. They're to be the most zealous and the most committed in all of these things. We have no right to expect you, the flock, to follow our lead if we don't practice what we preach. A shepherd doesn't just lie on the grass and point the way to the sheep. He leads the sheep. He walks in the way himself to show the sheep the way that they should go. Elders are to be living illustrations of the gospel. We'll see in our next study that the qualities that are required of the elder are essentially no different from the qualities that God requires of every believer. We'll see that that means, amongst other things, that the elder is to be an exemplary Christian. Not a perfect Christian, but an exemplary Christian, an outstanding example of what a Christian ought to be. As you think and pray about the men that you're going to choose to be your leaders, you're looking for men who are already setting an example, who are already leading the congregation in that sense. You don't elect men in the hope that perhaps once they've been given the office, once they've been given responsibility, then they will step up and start doing these things. You're looking for men who are already setting an example, leading the congregation by their attendance and their participation in public and in family and in private worship. Leading. Then secondly, feeding. Feeding. One of the shepherd's most important responsibilities is to feed the sheep, to make sure that the sheep are well nourished with good quality pasture. Psalm 23 talks about that, doesn't it? It talks about green pastures and quiet waters. And if you were to see a flock of scrawny, undernourished, sick sheep, then you would immediately assume that the shepherd was doing a very poor job of looking after the sheep. Elders are responsible for feeding the congregation with the pure Word of God. Now, that is especially the heavy responsibility, the solemn responsibility of the teaching elder. But all elders have the duty to teach. It's the one qualification of an elder that isn't required of all Christians in general. He must be able to teach. Now, that does not mean, I think, that an elder has to be able to stand up here in the pulpit and preach a sermon, but he must be able to instruct God's people about God's will. There are lots of different ways of teaching. Elders teach as they lead studies in the midweek groups. They teach by their wise comments. They teach people by informal conversations after services. They teach people by the advice that they give in pastoral visitation, as they exhort people from God's word, as they give direction and guidance about spiritual things. They are able to open their Bibles and explain the gospel and its demands to the people of God. They're able to teach. They're also charged with the responsibility of making sure that the food from the pulpit is nourishing and biblical. They are there to help the teaching elder to make sure that his sermons are appropriate and suitable and understandable and balanced and practical, that they really do address the needs and the circumstances of the people under their care. When visiting preachers come and stand in this pulpit, it's the elders who have the solemn responsibility of making sure that no false teaching is being preached. And that's why very stringent and precise guidelines are laid down by the Reformed Presbyterian Church about elders. Before a man can be accepted for ordination, he has to be examined by his session about his understanding of the doctrines of Scripture and the teaching of the Church's confessions. That's a higher standard than is required of you, the members of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. You simply promise to have a teachable and a submissive spirit to the testimony of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. But it's a higher standard for elders because they have the special responsibility, the heavy responsibility, of ensuring that the flock is fed with solid food. And it's a tragedy that today in so many churches, God's flock is being fed with junk food. Little talks with hardly any substance, full of stories and jokes and quotations, video clips, rather than a clear explanation of God's word. People learn more in church about pop culture than they do about God's word. And God's people are being spiritually starved in so many places. They're growing dangerously unhealthy. And of course, in the short term, people love it. And the churches that dish out that kind of food each week are very, very popular. But the long-term damage that that does to the people of God is incalculable. Elders are accountable to God for the diet of the people. And Trinity Session, of course, you don't need to be told, puts the teaching of the Bible, the exposition of God's word, front and center, because that's what feeds God's sheep. You imagine a parent giving instructions to a childminder about her child's diet, telling the childminder, "Now I want you to make sure that you only give my child wholesome, healthy food. You can give the child some sweets, but only very occasionally. Most of the time, it needs to be a healthy, balanced diet." What would you think of a childminder entrusted with a parent's precious, beloved children who decided to ignore all of those instructions and take the child to McDonald's every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And the childminder might say, "Well, that makes me very popular with the child. He really, really likes me because I take him to McDonald's every day, and it's much more enjoyable than potatoes and broccoli and pasta and carrots. And it's a lot easier in terms of preparation. There's no work to do." You would say that is so selfish and unloving. And yes, it may make you popular with that child, but what about the child? What about the damage that's being done to that little boy, that little girl? How dare you ignore a mother's instructions about the diet of her child? God has told us what his people are to be fed with, and it's not up to us to change that diet. We are not at liberty to change the diet with which we feed God's people. He's given clear, explicit instructions for the good of the sheep. And elders can ignore those because they want to be popular, or because people find sermons long and dull and hard work, and they prefer a little 5-minute homily instead of a 30-minute or a 40-minute exposition of Scripture with searching application. But God has said, this is how you are to feed and build up my people. And it's cruel and it's selfish and it's unloving to ignore those instructions. Leading, feeding, and thirdly and lastly, protecting. Leading, feeding, protecting. The shepherd had to protect his sheep from attack. Wild animals and thieves were a constant danger. You remember those remarkable words that David says to Saul in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep." What's involved in keeping your father's sheep, David? Well, David goes on and says, "When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." That's what a shepherd had to do. That was part of the job description of being a shepherd. I doubt a shepherd under those circumstances would find it easy to get insurance for his occupation today. A lion or a bear, David goes after it. He doesn't run away from it, he goes after it. He risks his life for the sake of the sheep. It was dangerous work, protecting the sheep. And not just from wild animals, but from dangerous cliffs. The shepherd had to go out and to search for straying sheep who would be in harm's way. He had to keep the sheep away from poisonous plants. He had to look after the sick and the injured. His whole life revolved around the well-being of the sheep. It was all focused on what was good for the sheep. And the elder's job is to protect God's people from spiritual harm and danger. Turn to Acts chapter 20 just for a moment. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 31. Here again is part of Paul's counsel to the elders at the church in Ephesus. Acts 20, verse 28, he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears." Paul, the great apostle, had founded the church in Ephesus, and he says that he has taught there night and day for 3 years. If ever there was a church that didn't need to worry about false teaching, you would think that it would be Ephesus. But Paul is painfully aware of the dangers. He realizes that the church is vulnerable. Savage wolves are going to come in from among your own number. People will try to draw away followers after themselves. And so it's vital that the elders who are going to stay in the congregation after he has left would be good shepherds to protect the sheep. It takes courage and discernment and vigilance to be an elder in God's church. It's not a job for wimps. Elders are to go after straying sheep who are wandering from God's paths and to try to bring them back. They're to show members how they're straying. It's our responsibility to come to you and to rebuke you where that is necessary, to gently and lovingly restore you to the way of obedience. And that takes courage. It's not easy to go and to look someone in the eye and to tell them that the way that they're behaving, the way that they're speaking, is wrong. And too many men would rather let the sheep wander wherever they want, regardless of the danger. You wouldn't do that with real sheep. How much less then should we do it with God's sheep? We're not to be like little Bo Peep. Leave them alone and they'll come home by themselves. That's the attitude that so many elders have for those who are under their care. Just let them be. What they're doing is wrong. They've set themselves on this course of sinful self-destruction, but hopefully one day, without any input, any interference from us, they'll eventually find their way back again, and we'll be ready to welcome them when they do. That's not being a shepherd. That's not what the chief shepherd wants his elders to do. We are to shepherd like him. He went out and looked and searched high and low for the lost sheep until he found it and brought it back home. Elders are to care for weak, sick, and unhealthy sheep. They are to get special attention. A good shepherd doesn't say about a weak, unhealthy sheep, "It's none of my business. It's nothing to do with me." It is exactly to do with him. It is his responsibility. And so the elders are to look out for members who are in special need, for those who are spiritually weak and struggling, wrestling with temptation, those who are immature and foolish, sheep that are physically ill and weak. And we're to do all that we can to strengthen them and to help them and to make them healthy and well. To help people by all possible means to grow in their faith. It is hard work. If you don't like hard work, if you're not prepared for hard work, if you're not already working hard in the church, then the eldership is certainly not for you. It's exhausting being a shepherd. Sheep can be very stubborn, thrawn creatures. They can be quite stupid. They don't know what's good for them. They're easily led astray. That's why God uses the picture of sheep for you and me. It's not because we're cuddly and white and innocent and lovely. It's because we're stupid and stubborn and prone to stray, because we get sick so easily. That's what you and I are like. And so God gives elders to protect these silly, stubborn creatures and keep us safe from harm. And if an elder is going to carry out these duties faithfully, he's going to need courage and he's going to need love for the sheep. God rebukes the leaders in the Old Testament again and again because they were bad shepherds. They didn't love the sheep. They didn't care about the sheep. They only cared about themselves and their reputation and what people thought about them. They told the people whatever they wanted to hear. They flattered them. They ignored their sins. They never rebuked anybody because they didn't want anybody ever under any circumstances to be angry with them. They never ran the risk of offending anybody. They wanted to be popular. They wanted an easy time. That's not what it means to be an elder in God's church. And elders who shirk the duty of shepherding God's sheep, they may well have a nice, easy time in this life. And they'll be well spoken of by everybody as a lovely, charming, pleasant man. But what is God going to say to that man at the day of judgment, when they're called to give an account for the souls of the people who were entrusted to their care. If we care about the sheep, if we love our people, then the elders of a congregation will lead and feed and protect them. And they'll do it in a Christ-like way. They'll do it gently, and they'll do it lovingly. They'll do it as graciously and humbly as they know how. But they will do it because they care more about God's opinion than man's, and because they love the sheep entrusted to their care. I'm pretty sure that I speak for the whole of Trinity Session when I say that we have failed to be good shepherds, every one of us. In many ways, we have shrunk from our duty. But by God's grace, we are seeking to discharge our duties. And we're looking for men in the congregation who will take these duties seriously. You need to be looking for men who will take these duties seriously, who are showing signs that they are already doing many of these things, even without the office of elder. Men who will be imitators of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Being a shepherd of God's sheep is not a job for weaklings. It's for the most spiritually minded, zealous, devoted men that we can find in our church. We're looking for men who will lay down their lives for the sheep. We have men like that already. Thank God. Your elders could, if they wanted to, testify to sleepless nights because of the concern that they have for the sheep under their care. The eldership brings solemn and difficult duties. It is a joy, it is a privilege. This isn't really a sermon about the joy and privilege of the eldership. We could speak about that. It is a joy and a privilege to shepherd God's people. But it demands every ounce of God-given ability and all the grace that God can give to carry out these responsibilities faithfully and well. And so I urge you again to pray for the shepherds that God has already blessed us with here in Trinity. And pray for those men that God is preparing to take on these responsibilities among us in the near future. Leading and feeding and protecting the flock of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, again we bless and thank you and praise you that you condescend to be the shepherd of sinful men and women such as us. Heavenly Father, we are silly, foolish, stubborn, rebellious creatures, and yet you, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, shepherd us, leading us, feeding us, and protecting us. Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ, the Son of God laid down his life for the sheep. And we thank you, Lord God, that in his goodness and mercy, he has provided shepherds for us to care for us in the same way in our congregations. We thank you, Father, for the elders in this congregation. We thank you for the grace that you have given in the past, for the grace that you are presently giving, and we pray for that continuing grace to shepherd your people according to the pattern of the Lord Jesus himself. And Father, we pray that you will raise up men very clearly in our midst to be added to the session and to continue with us this work of shepherding your people. We pray for guidance, we pray for wisdom. We pray that we will be looking for men with the qualities that your word requires to do the work that your word sets out. so that your people might be built up and strengthened. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.